ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 32, Text 21, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they fall down by higher arrangement and again come back to this planet, just as any person raised to a high position sometimes all of a sudden falls. Purport, it is sometimes found that a person elevated to a very high position in government service falls down all of a sudden and no one can check him. Similarly, after finishing their period of enjoyment, foolish persons who are very much interested in being elevated to the position of president in higher planets also fall down to this planet. The distinction between the elevated position of a devotee and that of an ordinary person attracted to fruitive activities is that when a devotee is elevated to the spiritual kingdom, he never falls down, whereas an ordinary person falls, even if he is elevated to the highest planetary system, Brahmaloka. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuvana Lokaha, that even if one is elevated to a higher planet, he has to come down again. But Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Mamupetya Tukauntaya Punarjanmana Vidyate. Anyone who attains my abode never comes back to this conditioned life of material existence. Up and down. Material life means going up and down. Srila Prabhupada notes that apart from what's said in the verse about someone falling from the higher planets, Kshine Punye Martyalokam Vishanti, that even in our experience here on this planet, we see persons who go to a very high position and again fall down again. Big happening in the news when Srila Prabhupada was preaching in the Western countries, it dragged on for months and months and months, and it was front page news every day, was the Watergate affair, in which eventually President Nixon voted into the seat of the President of the United States of America, was forced to resign. Otherwise he would have been impeached, that's legally removed from office, for orchestrating the burglary of the rival political party's office. And he lied about it and so much. But eventually the evidence became clear and he had to resign, although he never admitted that he'd done anything wrong, and he never apologized for it. So Prabhupada he spoke about this a lot. He said, just see what is the character of your people. Even the person in the highest, most respectable position is, in Indian language you would say he's just a gunda. Mostan, they say that in Bengal. Mostan means he's the head of a gang of thieves. Or the head of a panchayat or something like that. It's more, well, that's the sarpanch, but it's similar thing. Just like we see in the Srinivasa Acharya, he was coming to Bengal with the books of the Goswamis to preach in Bengal, and everything got hijacked, everything got stolen. By who? By the king. The local king of Ban Vishnupur, he was out and out thief. He had his court astrologers, and they would find anyone coming, what are they bringing? So the court astrologer said, oh, these people, these sadhus, they have these boxes with the greatest treasure. You can't imagine. It's incomparable treasures. Great. They're only sadhus. They don't even have any guards. So they were all sleeping at night, and they woke up and everything is gone. They brought it back. The gundas of the king, the local police, they brought it, and he was very excited and opened it up and just some manuscripts which have no interest to him whatsoever. Later, by the mercy of Srinivasa Acharya, he realized that this is the greatest treasure. And when we can realize that this is the greatest treasure, then we no longer have to be in this position of wandering up and down in the material world. Kabu Raja, Kabu Praja, Kabu Das Prabhu, Kabu Dev, Kabu Daita. How's it go? Kabu Das Prabhu. Kabu Kita Kudra, Kabu Sharge, Kabu Marte, Narake Ba Kabu, Kabu Dev, Kabu Daita, Kabu Das Prabhu. Something like that. Prem Vibharta. Jagadananda Pandit says that, what is our position in this material world? Krishna Bahimok Kaya Bhogavan Chakari Nikatasta Mayatare Japati Adhari. That when we become inimical to the service of Krishna, then we desire material enjoyment, and immediately Maya is waiting to catch us. Then Aminitta Krishna Das Ekata Bhule Maya Nafar Hoya Chirokal Bhule. So forgetting that I am the servant of Krishna, we become the servant of Maya, and we wander around in this material world. Sometimes being a big king, and sometimes being an insignificant citizen. Sometimes being a demigod. Sometimes being a demon. Sometimes being a master. Sometimes being a servant. Sometimes in a heavenly planet. Sometimes in the earthly sphere. Sometimes in hell. Sometimes as an insignificant little insect. This is material life. So a devotee, here in the purport, Prabhupada distinguishes between the elevated position of a devotee and that of an ordinary person. That a devotee, their position in the spiritual world, you go up and up and up. And you go to the spiritual world and you don't come down. In the early days of the Krishna conscious movement in America, the devotees, they were preaching, stay high forever. Because they were coming from the hippie background and they were preaching among the hippies, who, for the hippies, the normal thing was to take all kinds of intoxications. And they would say, you get high by taking ganja or LSD, some kind of drug. You get high, you feel like you're floating in the air. So you feel high. But then you come down, the effect of the drug wears off. So people used to ask, is there any way you can stay high forever? So this is the way. Krishna consciousness, stay high forever. As material life means, go up and come down. Whether it's through intoxication or one has a high position, there are so many examples. Saddam Hussein was a high position and then all of a sudden he's a prisoner. He was the unquestionable leader, you don't, if he gives an order, you don't say, well, Sadamji, I don't agree with that. Off with your head. Or shoot him in the head. That's the reply. Now he's going to be shot in the head, probably. Is it they didn't execute him yet? I don't think so. Anyway, it's a foregone conclusion. So like that, one is high and gets dragged down. So many examples in history that the intimate confidant of the king falls out of favor and is executed. Our religious education at school, we learned of Thomas More, who was a Catholic advisor, or he was the main advisor to King Henry VIII, who, for political reasons, because he didn't want to follow the church, converted England to Protestant Christianity. But Thomas More didn't agree. He said, I'm a Catholic. I'm not going to change because of you. So he was the head, he was the powerful man, and then executed. Tortured and executed. So I was in a Catholic school, so we learned about all the Catholic heroes who were martyrs to the Protestants. It wasn't till I came out of school that I learned about all the Protestants who were killed by the Catholics. You don't hear about that. So like that, one's in a very, very high position and can be dragged down. Or someone of no position can suddenly become great, as, who said that? One of the American presidents, President Roosevelt or someone. Some people are born great, some people achieve greatness, and some people have greatness thrust upon them. But what is greatness in this material world? Just like that. Kabu Dev, Kabu Daita, Kabu Das Prabhu. Kabu Shage, Kabu Ma. Kabu Keet. Sometimes you're a demigod in heaven and sometimes you're an insect. That happens. We find in Mahabharata, Yudhishthira speaking to a snake, talking snake, who was formerly Nahush Maharaj. Nahush was a very pious and elevated king. And due to some problem Indra was having, see, people think, well, I have so many personal problems. Well, Indra has them also. So, even in the heavenly planets. Indra, he was in a high position, then he got in some trouble due to insulting his guru. So he was thrown down. Then Nahush came up to be Indra. And then Nahush, he got the same problem that Indra got. He became puffed up and insulted the rishis, and he got thrown down to the position of a snake. There are so many we find in Krishna Lila that one Vidyadhara means a Upadeva, semi-demigod. He was in the position of a snake due to insulting. Who was that? He insulted some sage. So he got cursed to become a snake, and he was swallowing up Nanda Maharaj. And the Vrajvasis, they were beating the snake with burning sticks, but wasn't responding. Then Krishna just touched the snake with his foot, and he got the form of a Vidyadhara. There's so many examples. The Apsaras, in South India, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he delivered the... No, no, who was that? Was that Ram? He delivered the Apsaras that they'd become crocodiles. Just see, the beautiful dancing girl in the heavenly planets, and then do something wrong and you end up as a crocodile. It's very dangerous being a dancing girl in the heavenly planets, because time to time you get sent by Indra to go and seduce some yogi, but if it doesn't work, the yogi curses you. Then you end up as a crocodile or something like that. So it's a risky business. Even in the heavenly planets, Indra is feeling so puffed up, and then, but in a moment, he's thrown down. Nahush, the second Indra, gets thrown down. But devotees, their position is secure. Even we sometimes see devotees, they come to a high position and they also fall down. It's sad to see. You don't see it in India, but sometimes we see in the Western countries, we meet some in the temple and someone comes up to us and say, "Oh, do you recognize me?" "No." "I'm so and so." And we remember 20 years ago, bright, shining face, and now he looks all grey with a beard and all scraggly hair. They didn't forget Krishna because they're still coming to the temple, but they're not looking Vaikuntha fresh. They look, in many ways, just like an ordinary karma. They've got entangled again in the materialistic way of life. So it seems that devotees, they can go up and come down, but it's not exactly the same, because neha bhikkhama nashosti tatyavayo na vidyate svapamapyasya dharmasya chayate mahatobaya. Activities in devotional service are to our eternal credit that is not lost. There's that, what's that verse that, Navaijano jatu katanchana bhajan mukundase vyanya vadanga sansrutin. How does the rest of the verse go? I can't remember. Anyway, the purport is that even if a devotee of Krishna falls down from his position and appears to be entangled, smaran mukundanga upaguhanang puna, then again he will remember the lotus feet of Mukunda, because having once tasted the nectar of serving Krishna, one can never forget it. So a devotee might become temporarily covered over by the material energy, but he can't forget Krishna, and Krishna doesn't forget that service that was rendered to him. That means sincere devotional service to Krishna. If someone is coming with the intention of using the role of a devotee to get some material gain, then Krishna is not pleased with that. But if one actually pleases Krishna at any time, then Krishna never forgets that. Prabhupada, in one of the early Back to Godheads, before he came to America, he was writing that in most Vishnu temples in India today, they are propagating the worst demoniac theories. So the temples are full of demoniac people. He was very strong. I'm not sure exactly what he was referring to, because that was in a time and place before we came, but certainly in many, we find in many temples that the spirit was lost, and people were running the temples more or less for personal profit. Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan, you can see so many deities are there on the altar, but actually it's originally only Radha Damodar. Then how did all the others come? Because in course of time, the Saivites, they took the deity from the temple, put in Radha Damodar temple, and sold off the properties. That's how they all came together. You'll find in many temples in Vrindavan, there are many deities in one temple. There's only supposed to be one deity. But here this is different. There's Gaunitai, Radha, Krishna, Jagannath, Subhadra, Balade. They're installed like that. But the standard situation is that in one, there'll be one temple of Radha Vinod, in another temple of Radha Madan Mohan, another temple of Radha Shamsund, not that they're all together in one temple, but they came together because the Saivites thought that we can make some profit, we'll sell the land. That's now Radha Damodar temple, the Prabhupada's worship was going on, and the Saivite locked the door, and he's telling everyone that this is my property. But legally it's not his property. Legally he's a Saivite, it's the deity's property, but they don't think like that. They think it's my right, it's my property. The term Saivite, they take to mean proprietor. They change the definition. So, they got the opportunity to serve Krishna. But if one, upon getting that opportunity, misuses it, then it's worse than playing with fire, because one can fall down very severely. However, if one is sincere in devotional service, then his position is most elevated. Here, this chapter, or this section of Bhagavatam, is talking about entanglement in fruitive activities. This gives a contrast to the position of a devotee. That a devotee, by his engagement in devotional service, gets the most elevated position. It's already the most elevated position. A devotee, by offering with devotion a flower to Krishna, achieves more than any Alexander the Great or Hitler or Napoleon or Mahatma Gandhi or anyone could achieve by their political machinations. All these persons simply achieved a sense of dominance. Of course, Mahatma Gandhi didn't, but he didn't become the leader of the nation, but he achieved his goal of that we should not be politically dominated by the British. So they appear like they've done something very great. Some years ago I first put out this book about Vamsidas Babaji. And I gave it to a young businessman I knew based in Dubai. I said, well, you saw the book. He said, who is he? I said, he was a great devotee. So what did he do? I said, well, he chanted the names of the Lord and he worshipped the Lord. He said, well, what did he achieve? People say a great devotee should be doing something, should be opening lots of temples and initiating lots of disciples. Well, great devotees, some great devotees do that. Some great devotees, you might not even notice them, because they're not doing things that are noticeable to ordinary people, but is noticeable to Krishna. So who's great? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jai Bhaje Shai Boro. Who is great? Who worships Krishna according to the degree of our bhakti, which that can't necessarily be realized or understood in terms of one's apparent achievements. I mean, there are many devotees of upper sampradayas who have made many disciples, open temples, but our acharyas don't recognize them as being proper devotees at all, because their siddhanta is wrong. There are many examples. So many upper sampradayas. So one's bhava, one's feelings for Krishna should be pure. That is greatness. The devotee never feels himself great. And that is his greatness. Vishayi durjana shada papi rapa kichu nahi moraguna bhakti rao thako. Such a great devotee, those who read his, he's still with us in the form of his writings, those who read his writings, his songs and his devotional and other devotional writings, you can appreciate what an unimaginably elevated devotee he is. Very just inconceivable how the depth of his Krishna consciousness. But he's writing, I'm very fallen. I'm a materialistic rascal, always full of lust. I have no good qualities. He's feeling like that. But the purity is, his purity is apparent from his penning so many songs. I mean, it's easy to say that anyone can say, I'm the most fallen. But how he expresses that in so many songs. This Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also writes that. That Jagai Madhai Hoite Mui She Papishto. What is that? Madhai Pui She Kito Hoite Mui She Logishto Jai Mora Naam Shune Tara Punna Khoi Jai Mora Naam Loi Tara Papa Khoi. He says that I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai and more insignificant than a worm in stool. Anyone who hears my name loses the effects of their pious activities. And anyone who says my name becomes sinful. So he's, Prabhupada explained that he's not just saying that. Sometimes we say that, oh, I'm the most fallen, I'm very sinful. We say that. There's no harm for a devotee to say that. He may not feel fully like that, but it's good to make the practice of feeling like that. Because generally we always try to promote ourselves. But Prabhupada explained that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he's actually feeling like that. But then see what literature he has produced. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Most elevated description of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's full of learning, scholarship, demonstrates the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, beautiful poetry, and the essence that it's full of the feelings, it expresses, it's a mirror of what are the feelings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. And by reading that, we can, by the mercy of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, by the mercy of Prabhupada who gave us that, we can ourselves just begin to appreciate that. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita Nitta Karopan Jaha Hoite Primananda Bhakti Tattva Gyan. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami himself says to daily drink the nectar of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because from this, Jaha Hoite, one will attain Premananda and Bhakti Tattva Gyan, knowledge of we could say the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So people should know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what we're talking about, who's elevated. People go to the heavenly planets, they become a little bit elevated, then they fall down again. To attain that position, they have to perform some elevated activities. Yajnas, in the yajna you have to be, in performing the yajna you have to be, you have to behave very nicely with the brahmanas. So the allurement to go to the heavenly planets, that is just to train one in proper behavior and pious activities. But if that doesn't, if that good behavior and expression of humility doesn't enter the heart, then again one can become proud. Indra, Nahush, who just gave example, they became proud and then fell down. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult that teaches utter humility from the heart, easy to talk about, easy to recite, Junadapi Sunichan, easy to say, not so easy to actually feel like that. But that is our aim. We can pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us so many beautiful songs demonstrating the purport of Shikshashtaka. What is that? Name anurag na hoila ma Bhakti Vinod Shri Dukhi Bibhor, is expressing this second verse. I didn't get any taste for the holy names. So Bhakti Vinod says, I'm simply Dukhi Bibhor. I'm simply overwhelmed by grief that I could not get any taste for the holy names. So like this, the great devotees, they help us come up from the low position to the very highest gift Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. Unatajvala rasa, swabhakti shriyam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us initiation into the highest rasa that Chaitanya, of course, all the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught or distributed bhakti, chari bhava, in all the rasas, dasya ras, sakya ras, vatsalya ras, shringa ras, but especially the unatajvala rasa, the topmost resplendent rasa, swabhakti shriyam, the beautiful devotional service to himself. So our acharyas are pointing towards that. That is the opportunity to enter into that. That position is far more elevated than even that of Lord Brahma. Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Kaivalyam narakayate chidashapur akasha pushpayate. Vidina hendra adischa kitayate. Kala sapa patali putkata dangstrayate. Yakarunya kataksha. Vaibhavatam tam gorameva stumaha. He says that for one who has got even the slight sidelong glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, then impersonal merging into the impersonal absolute, it seems like hell. And going to the heavenly planets, the idea of that, it just seems like it's not real, it's just meaningless. Would you like to come and enjoy? Someone is offering, come and enjoy. It's just, devotee, To him it seems like some kind of mad, what is this strange thing you're talking about? It's meaningless. Then, Vidhi Mahendra, the position of Brahma and Indra seems to such a devotee no more meaningful than that of an insect. And for what kind of devotee is that? Well, for a devotee for whom the senses, which are very dangerous, like a snake that can bite at any time, for a devotee who's got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the senses are still like a snake, but with the poisonous fangs removed. The senses are nothing dangerous for a devotee. You see, Prabhupada, he moved alone in the big cities, the Western world. He was never attracted to the sense gratification. Prabhupada himself said, I have so many beautiful young women disciples. And Prabhupada said, and I'm not incapable also, even though I'm old, I'm still healthy, but I have no attraction. No sexual attraction. Because as he instructed his disciples, you should see all these young women as gopis. They're meant for Krishna's enjoyment, not meant for your enjoyment. So that is the first sign of an elevated position. Prabhupada once asked some of his disciples rhetorically, but why are all these people worshipping him? Prabhupada said, because I'm free of sexual desire. That's a high position. But even higher than that is the position of a devotee. Pure devotee. Of course, pure devotee is free from sexual desire. Many times we hear devotees speaking about the high elevated position, raga, noga, bhakti, all these things. All right, that's good. That is our goal. But it might be more appropriate for us to discuss how to become free from material desires. Because there's no entering into the highest levels of devotional service unless we're free from material desires. I'm thinking we'll do some special manjari sadhana, imagine ourselves to be a gopi or something like this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhu kahe kohilam imaha mantra iha japadiya shabe kariya nibanta. Iha hoite, from this, sarva siddhi, this is siddhi, siddha pranali. Sarva siddhi hoibe shabha sarva kan kahanam vidhi nahiya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I told you the maha mantra, everyone should chant it incessantly. From this chanting alone, all perfection will come. So just chant, and no need of thinking of doing anything else. So we're very anxious to know what our position is in the spiritual world, and whether I'm a gopi fanning Krishna or providing tambool. First let's chant the holy names. Little attentively, at least. Everything comes from chanting the holy names, by the mercy of the holy names. Most elevated position. But, nāme anurāg, na hoilamo, bhakati vinoda ati dukhe vibhor. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is simply full of taste for the holy names, is lamenting, I don't have taste for the holy names. And what is our position? We're so fallen, neither we have taste for the holy names, nor are we even sorry that we don't. And we're talking about this gopi, that gopi. Better to serve the mission of the gopis. Gopis have come to this world as the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They've given books, this Bhagavad, we're getting the commentaries, Sanatan Goswami's commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Prabhupada took all the commentaries of the acharyas and gave the essence. Prabhupada said, by reading my books, one gets in contact with all the previous acharyas. So now, it's that season coming up when, on the order of Prabhupada, or to fulfill his desire, devotees are making a special effort to distribute these books. The 1 month marathon of book distribution. Of course, we can do all through the year, but in the Western countries, because it's Christmas season, people spend more money at this. They're more inclined to spend money, so it's better for distributing books. People, they're ready to spend money more, just like at Diwali time. In India, it's spending season. Of course, when we go for collections before Diwali, people say, no, I can't spend because it's Diwali. But in the Western countries at Christmas, yeah, people are spending money. So it's good for distributing books. We can distribute books. Here we use the excuse Gita Jayanti, although it's an invented term, Gita Jayanti, because Jayanti is described in Shastra as this term means it's an astrological term, or astronomical term. Or is it astrological? Anyway, the two things overlap. There's only one word in Sanskrit, Jyotish. So when in the Krishna Paksha of Bhadra Mas, at night when Rohini is elevated, the star Rohini, then that is called Jayanti. So it's meaningless to say Gita Jayanti or Balaram Jayanti or Nrsimha Jayanti. It refers to the particular astrological configuration which was there when Bhagavan Krishna appeared in this world. Anyway, that's a side point. It's just that, you know, some foolish person without any knowledge decided to call everything Gandhi Jayanti, Ambedkar Jayanti, My Factory Jayanti, and even Gita Jayanti. If we say not to say it, you might think, oh, why is he saying that? He's not a devotee. But if one knows Bhagavad Gita, one should know Shastric conclusions. It's not Gita Jayanti. But anyway, people have that sentiment that now it's a good time to take Bhagavad Gita. Actually, every moment is a good time. Every moment, if we don't take Bhagavad Gita, then it's a bad time. What time is it? People are trying to calculate what time is auspicious. Auspicious is the time that we remember Krishna. And inauspicious is the time that we don't remember Krishna. What is purity when we remember Krishna? And what is impurity when we don't remember Krishna? Om pavitra apavitra va sarva vastam gato piva yasparet pundarika sham sabha yabhyantara shuchihi. Anyway, it's a good time for distributing these books. So please do so. See what you can do. Probably in all of India, which means in all the world, the Telugu people are the most inclined to take Prabhupada's books. It seems like that. There's good interest. In Maharashtra, there's also, all of India in general, in Maharashtra, there's very good scope for book distribution, and in Andhra Pradesh, there's ISKCON Bombay, Juhu, for many years, they've been organizing traveling bus distribution parties. And their parties mostly come to Maharashtra, which is anyway, Bombay's anyway in Maharashtra, but they get good response. And to Andhra Pradesh, more than, they could go anywhere, they do also. They also go to Gujarat and MP and Karnataka and Goa and all these places. But especially these two states, they're coming. Even though we, in these two languages, it's been very slow for book production. Anyway, now they're coming out, gradually. But nevertheless, the response has consistently been good. It's devotees go back. Once I took a bus party there, the devotees hadn't been to Vijayawada for, I don't know, about 8 months. And they said, oh, why didn't you come? You know, what's wrong? Why haven't you come? You want to get your books. So, people want the books. Again, just some devotees, they went out, they took a traveling party in Tamil Nadu after, well, the Bombay parties have come, but from Tamil Nadu there hasn't been a traveling book distribution party organized for many years. And they're going in towns and saying, oh, what happened? We didn't see you for years. Where are the new books? So there's good scope. Now the sets of books are coming. You can try to distribute these sets of books. This last night I was with a devotee. He got the habit in America when he was there of selling sets of books. And he's come here. He's not even Telugu. He's Tamil by background. But he's selling so many sets of books to people who, you know, they don't have much connection with ISKCON, but somehow he's convincing people to buy sets of books. Just recently a permanent Brahmachari Sankirtan party was started in Bangalore, not that temple, but so I don't think they have permanent book. They have in their temple, but I don't think they have going out. I don't know. Anyway, one of the devotees found the responses very good, that many people are interested. But another thing he found, so many people already have Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, so he started bringing full sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he found people were interested, more interested, he'd just say, can I spend a few minutes with you? And go in and show them the Bhagavatam set, and he's distributing 10 to 12 Bhagavatam sets every week, door to door, just knocking on the door, saying, we'd like to show you the books, and just people with no introduction, on the spot, they're taking sets of Prabhupada's, it means Bhagavatam. So there's good scope. Then this Telugu Bhagavatam, it came up to which canto now? Eighth canto. So you can sell sets now, and you keep the addresses, and as the books come out, or you can take full payment in advance, and so, or you have a standing order that you send them by post, the new volumes as they come out. It's now you can do. How about him? He looks enthusiastic. So generally we've been promoting sales of Bhagavad Gita as it is, but sets, now's the time to think about sets. Selling sets of Bhagavatams. Even life membership they're going for, you can add a little bit to the price. How much is membership now? Ordinary membership? Here, Karanda, you're doing membership? No? How much is it? 14. So you can add a little more. What's the difference between 14 and 17? Give them a set. Prabhupada very much wanted this set of Bhagavatam. He said every respectable gentleman should have a set of my books in his house. How about all of you? You all have sets of Bhagavatams? Who's got the set of Bhagavatam in their home? Hand went up slowly there, praying Kirtan. It's not a complete set. Complete set, okay. Alright, who doesn't have? Alright. Quick, take a photo. How about doing yourself all a big favor? Get a set of Prabhupada's books. Bhagavad Leelo TV Fake Do. That's it. Make your life successful. How you can make your life successful? Turn off the TV and open the Srimad Bhagavatam. I've been insisting that those persons who are coming to me asking for initiation, you should read the first two cantos of Bhagavatam minimum. Because I know if you read the first two cantos, definitely you're going to want to read the rest. Because it's nectar. So there's so many times about it, they say, oh, well, I don't have time and this and that. And so, alright, it's up to you. You want, then you read. So then they start reading and say, oh, it's so wonderful. My Krishna consciousness is so, it's just completely different now. I didn't realize how wonderful these books are. So do yourself a favor. Get yourself a set of Srimad Bhagavatams. Doesn't matter which language, English, Telugu, whatever. Get the books and read the books. And make your life successful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.